for right now.
I'm referencing section 3 on page 2 of the printed bill.
Okay.
Oh, which okay. Which is a completely new section
right,
of the statute.
Oh, I'm sorry. You already mentioned that earlier. Okay.
And then we had originally, and if you read the first sentence on line 8 of the dash 4 amendments, I'll read the way that we had originally proposed it, and you can see that the changes are really not consequential. It used to say, in order to submit any property to the provisions of this chapter, comma, the declarant. Those are the types of changing. They're English changes, and they're grammatical. I'm not the world's greatest English person, and when I write something, the surveyors look at it, and they say, oh, it looks good to me, and then other people that have a little more understanding of the language get a hold of it and suggest something different. And those are the types of changes. So Section 3 is a redraft of the Section 3 in the printed bill.
Yes.
We've changed on page 3 of the printed bill.
We didn't already go over that?
Well, we did. I'm just trying to point out the things that have changed from the dash 1 amendments.
Oh, okay.
If you'd like me to continue, if you wouldn't.
I'm sorry. I said I was having another conversation on another matter. Did you? Is that what you asked him to do? Is to point out the changes, Senator Smith? I mean, that's what he.
I don't think I asked him to do that.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, Madam Chair. I thought that you had asked me that, but maybe I was mistaken. Okay.
I thought you had. We were working our way through the amendments. Yes, we already went over Section 3 and all of the other.
That's
stuff,
correct.
And I thought we were following along. I couldn't figure out why we were going back to the beginning.
Okay,
of the
I was
amendments.
Just trying to point out the difference between the dash 1 amendments that were present at the first hearing and the dash 4.
No, we don't want to even think about the dash 4.
Okay.
Okay.
May I ask the
Senator
witness,
Springer?
I think you indicated earlier, Chuck, that there's kind of a philosophical difference embodied in the dash 4 amendments and the dash 6 amendments. Can you maybe tell me what philosophy is embraced in the dash 4 as opposed to the dash 6? I guess someone's going to explain the dash 6 amendments.
Yes, Madam Chair, Senator Springer, there's no philosophical difference between the dash 4 amendments and the dash 6 amendments. They're completely different issues.
Okay.
So I'll leave the dash 6 amendments to...
Okay, I misunderstood. Thank you.
Now, Genoa, are you...
Why is Genoa?
Are you in disagreement with the dash 4 amendments?
Madam Chairman, no, we're not.
Okay.
That's not our issue.
Okay. So you're just introducing the other issue in the dash 6?
That's correct.
Okay. Is there any objection to the dash 4 amendment?
Madam Chair, if I might... there is one change that's been suggested by Dale Blanton of DLCD that I believe has been given to John, and we've reviewed this change. It would make one minor change to the dash 4 amendments.
Okay.
And we have no objection
to that.
In that
case, I tell you what we're going to do. I'm not ready to move the bill.
Okay.
I'm really not, you know. I would go back to what I suggested earlier, and that is that... the people who want the dash 4 amendments, you know, if there's somebody who hasn't seen those, you know, and they need to see them, get it all together, and that we have another work session, but we post, you know, exactly which amendments it is that we're. I mean, I don't mind going ahead and adopting the dash 4 amendments if we want to work from that point.
Madam Chair.
Senator Bunn?
It seems to me if there's a consensus, I don't understand why there's a consensus group with a dash 4 and a dash 6.
It's not a consensus.
Okay, there's a consensus on 4 and then 6 is the battle game.
Yeah.
I would at least like to get the dash 4 hand engrossed back and then look at, or 4 amended, whatever it is, but get the consensus on paper in an engrossed or hand engrossed bill, and then look at the battleground.
Okay, I agree with you.
Madam Chair.
Senator Springer.
The hand engrossed version would help very much. Secondly, if as part of that presentation, we could be told who it was that represents the individuals who participated and have signed off on those amendments, that saves me some time in asking what may be obvious questions in terms of who should be participating and who might be affected, whether it's utilities or cities or otherwise. And that'll help me dig through a subject about which I know virtually nothing.
Right.
And I'm just a layperson here trying to get educated on the subject. And I haven't been contacted by anybody previous to the hearing, and I'm just totally cold trying to understand this stuff.
Let's do this. We're not going to take any action today, but what we're going to do is, if John, will you have these put into a dash, whatever it is, set?
Okay.
Whenever the bill comes back, have a hand-engrossed version, and on it, note that it's hand-engrossed with the dash, whatever that is, and that they were put together by all of those names on it. And then we, by that time, I think you might want to ask Legislative Council to process and draft what's in the dash. Six is separate.
May I ask,
Senator Springer?
You know, just so, if there are issues in dash six, can we just flag those issues for a few moments now so I can at least be aware if someone ever comes to talk to me about this, what it is,
yes,
the issue
good.
Is?
Okay. I would have asked that, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Okay. All right.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I am Genoa Ingram, representing the Oregon Association of Realtors. And this chapter is something that we've been discussing in our association for the past year. And unfortunately for Mr. Pearson, he had the misfortune of introducing a bill that dealt with this chapter. And henceforth, we were drawn into the coalition. The problem that the real estate licensees have is with the unclarity as to whether or not a licensee may write an offer contingent upon approval of the partition agreement. There are several reasons for bringing that to your attention at this point. Real estate purchasers of real estate may write earnest money agreements contingent upon any number of things, varying from pest inspections to financing to what have you. It represents an excellent way to test the market for the individual who owns the property, if they are allowed to test the waters, if you will, and see if there are clients or customers who are willing to purchase prior to the partition. For example, if there's a property owner who has 10 acres, before going to the expense of dividing the property into two three-acre parcels and a four-acre parcel, only to find out after it's done that he doesn't have a buyer, but he would have had a buyer had he done it for 2 5-acre parcels, then that's one way of getting at that and testing the market before the money is spent and the hearings are gone through, et cetera. It also allows the consumer the ability to, if they see, at least we've heard testimony from our members in the Salem area, that as soon as people see the bulldozers moving, they're right out there and they want to reserve parcels of property for a future purchase if the partition is approved. So this is something that the consumers are very interested in doing. The Dash 6 amendments do represent those changes and make those allowances. There was consensus among the group. The surveyors were able to sign off on it. The planners, Mr. Nibon was present. The title companies, Barbara here in the room was present. The only problem that we heard was that the representative from DLCD had a concern about consumer protection and whether or not the consumer would somehow be cheated by entering into what was referred to as a binding agreement before the partition was approved. And our response would be that the agreement is not binding until after the partition is approved, because no one loses any money. We did go back and check. We had our legal counsel, Mr. Shaw, who is with me today, go back and review the consumer protection mechanisms already in current statute, and we were very comfortable that the consumer was provided adequate protection under Chapter 92, and we discussed that with Mr. Pearson, who was able to sit down and offer some amendments that would increase his comfort level. And that summarizes the gist of what our amendments are after. If you would like further explanation, Mr. Shaw is available today to respond to those. And Madam Chairman, I would like to take this opportunity to publicly thank Mr. Pearson for the assistance, the many hours that he spent both at the work group and in Mr. Shaw's office helping to draft our amendments.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. All right. That's does somebody else on the other side want to comment on that, or is that enough for there? Okay.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Dale Blanton, Senior Policy Analyst for the Department of Land Conservation and Development. In reviewing the Dash 6 amendments today, the department expresses strong opposition to the concept of sale of parcels prior to the approval. We believe it sets a bad public policy. It unnecessarily complicates the land use decision-making process, unfairly jeopardizes third parties whose interests are tied up in a partitioning prior to the local land use process looking at that. And we think it compromises local decision makers who are faced with evaluating a partition where perhaps an earnest money agreement has been signed and the decision makers are faced with having to make a decision with, in essence, money tied up in a transaction.
Okay. Senator Smith?
I'm very sensitive to yet more pressure on a local government to grant land use action. But we're talking about, we're not talking about a sale, are we? Are we talking about an accepted offer contingent upon thus and so? So if it doesn't happen, everybody gets their money back and goes away. Is that right?
If I may, Madam Chairman, Senator Smith, that is where our legal counsel came in. We did redraft definitions of convey and sell and negotiate, and that was the heart of our amendments as to exactly what those three terms constitute. And I don't know how technical you want to get today if you want to go into those, but that was the reason for our redrafting those definitions, was to address your concern.
Have you had your legal counsel look at this?
Madam Chair, Senator Smith, our legal counsel has not evaluated these amendments. Today is the first time we've had an opportunity to really see the language.
Okay, well, we're not going to do anything on them today. I'm very interested in what exactly this will translate to when it gets down to a land use action on a local level. If it's more pressure on a local government to grant a land use action, even though they may not want to, I don't like it. But if it's something that holds everyone harmless and allows them to make a decision based on law, what a concept, then that's different. So.
Any comments?
Well,
Senator Springer, you were going to say something too.
Well, I guess maybe some of my grunts over here have kind of indicated that I agree with what Senator Smith has said, but I mean, Jenna's point about sort of testing the waters leads me to the question, your 10-acre parcel, if the options are dividing this thing up into 5 2-acre parcels or 10 1-acre parcels, I mean, that may affect what we're doing, and it's sure as heck going to affect the kind of concerns that I think Senator Smith has expressed, and which may or may not be consistent or compatible with whatever a comprehensive plan may be or a zone may be. And I mean, I can't put myself in the position of the owner or the real estate industry, but I mean, those pressures are going to be there to quote test the waters and try to, you know, force the position. I mean, that's just human nature, to try to get the best deal you can and to try to get the best deal you can. I mean, and that concerns me greatly, that that's going to create exactly the kind of pressures that Senator Smith has described.
I think this gentleman wants to make some responses here.
Senator
Smith, you want
to? I'll give you one more thing to respond to, and that is my experience sitting on a city council was that nothing in current law has hindered developers and property owners from making decisions about property contingent upon getting a land use action out of the local government. I mean, they do it. They just don't sign a paper. and maybe exchange money. I don't know about the money part. So it occurs without this. I don't know.
You're on.
Madam Chairman, thank you. My name is Ray Shaw. I apologize for holding us up at the beginning. I am a lawyer in Salem. I practice with the firm of Heltzel Upjohn, Shaw, Williams, Yandell, and Pearsall. That's too long. One of my clients is the Oregon Association of Realtors. I know what your charge is today, and that is let's just get some information on the table. I'll be short. First of all, my understanding of the Dash 6 amendments is not to affect the current land use procedures adversely. It retains local control. But it does allow a seller more options in the orderly development of housing, conditioned on certain conditions preceding. Lawyer's term, conditions, subject to's. I direct your attention when you have the leisure, if you have the leisure, to page 2 of the Dash 6 amendments. Let me summarize what begins at line 8. And that is that the consideration, money and other documents, is put into an escrow account and can be dispersed only when the list that you see beginning of page 2 is complete. It therefore protects the buyer to make sure the buyer gets the package that they've bargained for, but I would argue that it protects the seller too and opens and enhances the seller's current options. That's all I have, unless you have specific questions.
Any questions?
Madam Chair, could I respond briefly?
Mm-hmm. You need to put your name on the record again. There's so many voices that we might need a name.
For the record, Dale Blanton, the Senior Policy Analyst for Department of Land Conservation and Development. The concerns as we see them are really expressed out of line 7 in the Dash 6 amendments. Current law authorizes for partitions the negotiation.
You mean on page 2?
Madam Chair, that's correct.
Okay.
Current law authorizes negotiation for a sale in a partition. What these amendments do are authorize the selling and replacing the word no person shall sell with the language no person shall convey. Now, there's nothing that prevents the testing of the waters in terms of negotiation for a partition for the sale of it. Our concern is what this does is actually authorizes the sale of land in a partition without local approval. And the instance we see are either in exception areas in the rural areas of the state or in inside urban growth boundaries to have a decision maker faced with constituents in the audience that actually say we have money tied up in this. And while the decision makers are trying to apply the land use regulations and decide whether or not the lot pattern in the partition really meets the land use requirements, they're already faced with several people who may have money tied to a specific partition that's already laid out, and any amendments to that would be jeopardizing the interests that those folks have in the partition. We think that puts more pressure on the decision makers. In some instances, we may even have the ability for folks to file partitions and create at least a perception that an area is committed to non-resource development and without an exception being applied for. And we think those kinds of pressures are going to cause some problems for the land use program. We don't object to the negotiation portion that's already there.
Senator Springer?
This is a tough question for the proponents of the bill, Chuck, whoever else wants to respond.
Association or surveyors?
This is your bill. It's just big anchor and chain just got hooked to your bill here in these Dash 6 amendments.
That's why we interrupted
this. How do you feel about that?
Madam Chair, Senator Springer, for the record, Chuck Pearson. Originally, I didn't feel very comfortable with the amendments at all. I have done a substantial amount of negotiation with Ms. Ingram and Mr. Shaw on this, and my comfort level has risen to the point where I first said I would just come to the committee meeting and downright oppose these, to the point where I think that the consumer is being protected, which is one of my charges as a county official. So I'm comfortable with him. I'm not comfortable with the fact that it's going to make the bill flounder if that is, in fact, is what's going to happen. I'm not sure that the concerns that have been expressed here about the Dash 6 amendment are really that appropriate. Land use decisions are pretty well spelled out by ordinance as to what you can and you can't do with property. And to say that people are going to adversely impact that would mean that they would have to adversely impact the ordinances that regulate that type of decision making.
Chuck, you probably know, but if I may take 15 seconds to remind him, you have before you three members who two currently sitting on the Ag and Natural Resources Committee who are going to be spending and have spent, and like Senator Cease, are very, very interested in our land use planning process. And one of the major issues this session, and when we have a person from the department comes in and says, this is a problem, it's a problem.
I'm not sure, Madam Chair, Senator Springer, that it's a land use problem. I think it's a consumer protection problem. Mm-hmm. And if in fact that would get into the land use decision-making process, I'm a surveyor. I tend to stay away from planners as absolutely much as possible. But we do have a county planner here that I think may be able to briefly address that if you'd like.
Okay, Russ, that's your cue.
He's not going far. They'll just swap places.
That's all right.
Okay. Senator Springer has the floor here.
Well, no, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, Dave.
No, you have the floor.
Chairman, members of the committee, with that dubious introduction, Russ Nebon for the Association of Oregon Counties. Let me take a minute to put this issue in perspective. Right now, if you look on the face of the bill at the definition of the word negotiate, it says any activity preliminary to the execution of a binding agreement. Let me go back to the example that Senator Springer was given, 10-acre parcel. A doctor sees that 10-acre parcel and it's got a view site on it and he wants to buy 5 acres of that. The owner is an elderly person who has heard that the land use process is a snake pit and that you have to hire planning consultants and lawyers and that the burden of proof is on the applicant. And as the owner, they understand that they have to sign the application, but they'll be darned if they want to be out front proposing this division so that this person can buy it. They want to transfer that responsibility to the prospective buyer who wants that 5-acre parcel. So the discussion ensues, and the doctor says, okay, I'll pay the $500 application fee, I'll hire the planning consultant, and I'll work through the planning process, and if it gets approved, I'll buy it from you. Do you have a binding agreement or don't you? And there's a lot of that stuff going on out there because the owner doesn't want to be the applicant. Now, I review partitioning applications on behalf of Marion County as the staff. And the way this bill is worded, all of those funds are put into an escrow account if there's any exchange in money. Right now, I think, based on the definitions in the law, we have people that are technically violating the definition of negotiate. Because even a doctor is not going to spend $500 and hire a planning consultant and go to bat for a proposal unless he's pretty sure that the owner of that property is going to honor the agreement.
Not burn them.
And so I see the changes here as more bringing the law in line with the current practice. And I have a lot of respect for Dale's opinion in the department, and I understand what he's talking about. I mean, there is always this concern that the local decision maker is going to be influenced by somebody coming in, and maybe because they sense they're losing in justifying the case, they say, oh, and by the way, there's money on the table here, and therefore it's going to be a grave inconvenience if you deny this proposal. I can tell you right now that doesn't make a bit of difference to me. because I take applications that ask for two fives and change them around to what conforms to the plan and the zoning requirements. And I'm sure Dale can give examples of some counties where that might appear on the surface to influence the decision. I would submit that tendency to want to approve the applicant's proposal is based on other things than the fact that there's money on the table. I don't think that's the deciding factor. And I think we need to have the law reflect what the current practice is, and I don't think that's going to affect local decision making, particularly if you have the precautions that are built in this bill, and that is no money is changing hands, and so the staff can always look at the decision maker and say, if we deny this, nobody loses any money.
Let me ask you all, I'm interrupting the process here. Do you really think this amendment fits into the context of the all the rest of the bill, or is the whole separate issue that should be considered separately in another bill?
Madam Chair, I came in on the tail end of this and you asked my opinion. It is a different issue. We support the Dash 4 amendments and we support 548 with those amendments. If the Dash 6 amendments jeopardized 548 with the Dash 4 amendments, we would have the same concerns that Chuck has. But if the Dash 6 amendments address a legitimate concern and there is support for it, I have no problem with it being included in the bill.
Senator Springer, I sort of interrupted you before. Senator Smith, I think, has another comment. We're operating as a subcommittee, which is all we are able to do.
Senator Smith is, I've yielded my time to her because she's...
I've been one of those decision makers and watched this process, and I realized that the staff has the ability to deal specifically with the ordinances and the comprehensive plan and the zones and the land use laws and come to the council and say, okay, this is our recommendation, council. But I have watched applicants come in, generally the owners of the property, the current owners, not the prospective owners, come in and say, you know, you're costing me hundreds of thousands of dollars. I'm this poor little farmer. I got to get rid of this land. I can't afford it anymore. Please, 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 please don't cost me this much money. And I have watched them sway because of the money. And this is going to exacerbate that problem. The staff doesn't drive it. And it becomes land use decisions are the most political thing a local government does. And this makes it even more political and even further from the intent of land use legislation. I'm very concerned about this. We're not going to do anything today anyway. At this point, I haven't closed the door on anything, but I am very, very concerned about this.
Okay. It's always helpful for people to know where people are.
Right.
I think it should be dealt with separately if we're going to deal with it. The Dash 6 amendment. Okay. Thank you very much for being here. You may be excused, and
thank
Senator
you.
Springer and I will be a subcommittee for purposes of taking testimony on Senate Bill 1060. I've asked John to combine the other Dash 2 amendments, the DLCD sheet, and that big set of amendments, and to have them processed and drafted by Legislative Council to their comfort, and also the same thing separately with the Dash 6, just in case you find a vote, the fourth vote, because I'm not there either. but anyhow, I would say maybe you need, I don't even know how Senator Otto feels about it because he's not here, so. But we'll get it ready to go for the next time it's scheduled. Okay, John Gervais, Irene Colburn, and does Mr. Sansi want to come up as well? Okay. Hi, we're a subcommittee, but we're perfectly capable and legal of taking your testimony in a hearing on this.
Thank you, Senator Cease. For the record, my name is John Gervais, representing the National Electrical Contractors Association. We asked for the introduction of Senate Bill 1060, which, when it was drafted, did not turn out to be quite what we had hoped. Thus, the amendment that Senator Springer was referring to, a clean bill. It's not a clean bill as such. But, thus, the amendment that further clarifies it. I have with me today to talk about the reason for the need for the bill. With me, Irene Coburn from Linco Electric in Albany, Oregon, who is the Legislative Committee Chair of the National Electrical Contractors Association. And I'd like to have her discuss the problems that their contracting firm has encountered in obtaining liability insurance as it relates to public contracting.
Thank you. Senator Cease, committee, Senator Springer. When we...
Please testify to your name for the record. No one else can do that but you.
I'm sorry. Okay, all right. For the record, my name...
I can say it, but you are the one...
For the record, my name is Irene Coburn.
Thanks.
We are asked as contractors to furnish a certificate of insurance before we start a project on most cases. Certain agencies, public agencies that we work for, require to be